from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That was Drake May from earlier today. It's the WEEI Afternoon Show. Christian Arkin here, Andy Hart alongside. We got Jackson Burns back there running the board. And we have Drake May, who was speaking today. He had a little scrum in front of his locker. It was about 5 minutes of Q&A. And considering how quickly he speaks, he has that sort of excited Southerner cadence to his answers. It was a lot of questions and a lot of answers. And we'll play a little bit more of it for you. But the question that was asked right there was, do you think there's anything you could have done differently to win this starting job? And he said, no, I left it all out on the field. And I thought that was a good answer. That's a good way of sort of putting it. Like, I did everything I could. You know, I tried to learn the offense. I was out there trying to connect with the guys. I didn't get a ton of reps with the first team. He didn't say that, but, like, we know that. And I won the contest, right? I won the competition. I did everything I was asked of. And they just decided to go another way. And he never framed that in a negative way. The first couple of questions that he answered were all sort of in that vein. Do we have the, let's, because it's quick. Here's the first three questions and answers that Drake May was sort of volleying back and forth with the media. Let's listen.
Yeah, really just excited for week one. You know, I think Jacoby is a great player. I'm excited to do whatever I can to help this team win, and look forward to next week.
What's it been like, the process for you here?
Yeah, I think it's been great. I think just getting to know the offense, I'll learn from guys who've been in the offense, and from here just do whatever I can to help this team win, like I said, and then just take the young guys. I mean, that's kind of some of my role. I can, you know, help JP and some of the young offensive linemen and Bates, and just kind of do anything I can as a free quarterback to kind of learn the system, prepare like I'm the starter, and just treat it like that.
You disappointed you're not the starter?
I wouldn't think disappointed. I wouldn't say disappointed. Obviously, you know, there's two ways to look at it. You know, obviously, I want to play, competitive edge in me. At the same time, 110 situation, you know, kind of what's coming in here, and Jacoby's, you know, being the offense, and you got, you know, the reps, you know, with the ones all camp. So can't really say I'm disappointed, but at the same time, want to be playing.
Do you believe him when he says he's not disappointed? You believe?
Well,
that?
I think he framed it as, I'm not an idiot.
Right.
I didn't get a single first team rep. How am I going to be the first team quarterback if I don't get a first team rep?
Mm-hmm.
That's the tone I took from that.
Maybe I'm disappointed I didn't get any reps with the first team.
Yeah. But I like to be
get a real shot at it.
To be disappointed, don't you have to think you had a shot? Like, none of us are disappointed when we don't get the $1 billion lottery. Really disappointed because you never thought you had a shot to win it, right?
Sure.
He never got any first-team reps, and he's like, I've been around football long enough. When I don't get to touch David Andrews' ass, it means I'm not going to be the starting quarterback, right?
Right.
So that's the way I took that. I always say this. I'm biased. I wanted him. I think he's going to be good. I really like Drake May, but I think he has handled himself really well in these press conference settings.
I agree. I do.
Remarkably
he's,
well.
He's got a very level-headedness about him. He's not defensive.
No.
He's not, you know, Mac used to get very kind of, you know, he could put his guard up.
And he
have like a tone.
Watched him? Have you watched any of these? Because he does this weird thing that I don't know if I love the look, but when somebody asks, you ask him a question, he does this, like looks at you kind of like a dog.
Yeah, right.
Turns his head sideways.
Right.
But he's listening. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's already trying to formulate how do I get out of this crappy question with a crappy answer. He's actually thinking about your question, and he answers it.
Yeah.
And I really like the
way
he's...
It's a lot more genuine. You could tell Mac was trained in the Saban 100%. Media
yes.
classes and stuff.
No.
This is very, very sincere.
This is genuine.
Very earnest, yes.
It's likable.
Yeah.
And I love the way he's embraced the idea that... And this may be... Maybe they've helped coach him in this because we are in a bridge and there's a lot of young players, all that. But he's embraced the idea that while I'm not yet the leader of this team, I'm the leader of the young guys. Jalen Polk is my guy.
Mm-hmm.
Javon Baker is my guy, right?
Yep.
Caden Wallace and Laydon Robinson are my guys. I'm the leader of them. There was a quote a couple weeks ago where he said, the weird part is like, you know, I'm learning and I'm like the secondary behind Jacoby, but when I'm with those guys, I'm the guy they look to.
Yeah.
We're the future. I'm the leader of those guys. But I actually like the way he's embraced that. And if you go back, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing it. I'm going to put his name in the same sentence as somebody around here that carries some weight.
Okay.
If you remember the first thing that Bill Belichick praised and loved about one Thomas Brady.
Yes.
Was that he was the unquestioned leader of the 2000 rookie class. He took full control of that group. And I think Drake May has done the same thing. And I think he's smart because he doesn't have a $100 million starting quarterback in front of him. He just has an $8 million journeyman. He knows he's replacing him at some point. And he has taken a leadership role in the future of the franchise with those young guys, and I love it.
Yeah, very, very fair. The other rookies that year, by the way, J.R. Redmond, Greg Randall, David Stachelski,
something like that. Yeah.
And Patrick Pass.
Patrick Pass
was a rookie, seventh round pick.
Not the guy on
well.
Twitter who pretends to be Patrick Pass, who isn't.
That guy's not really Patrick Pass?
No. Sometimes people retweet him and think he is, and then others are
I've never really read his style. Like,
it's
I know
a parody
he's sort
account.
Of he's like a bitchy Patriots fan,
yeah.
basically. Yeah, it's assumed, like, who would pretend to be Patrick Pass?
Well, it's a parody. There's who would pretend to do all these things people do on Twitter?
True, yeah.
It's a cesspool. It's a weird world.
It is. It's
negative.
Certainly is.
I told you, the one guy that complimented me and said I was getting younger, I thought it was some, like, weird shot. And he was like, no, you look like you're getting younger. You're
like,
aging
no,
well.
Andy, you are hot, man. Like, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Really, whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Anybody that wants to be nice on Twitter, those few and far between, I'll take them.
We're going to be talking with Tommy Kern. Speaking of hot guys, we're going to be talking to him at 3:30, so get ready for that. In the meantime, let's go to your phone. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Jim is in Uxbridge. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. Why didn't it get anybody for the offensive line during the offseason? They had the money.
They sure did.
I mean, I mean, why didn't they get receivers? They didn't get anybody.
They did not.
Well, they were two bad positions. I
there wasn't a lot out there. Fair
there
enough.
Wasn't.
I mean, there certainly was not a ton of great options out there, but there were some.
It was a liquor store. There was no top shelf.
Right.
It was like lower. You're like, am I going to get really sick if I drink this?
Where did, what's his name from the Cowboys end up? Collins. Where did he go?
Lael Collins?
Yes.
He signed out of football, isn't he?
I think he signed with somebody.
I think he was cut.
Did he sign with not the Jets? The Bills,
he
maybe?
Was with the Bills.
Is he a Buffalo Bill now? I think. All right, so there you go. I mean, listen.
But they cut him. I don't believe he's, like, he barely
is
played.
If he's out of the league, then
I think he's done.
All right, never mind then.
Free agent.
Forget him.
Yeah.
Free agent. No, you could sign him, I guess. Didn't he do something?
He's toast.
Okay.
I believe his career is petering out. It's just about over.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
And there are some names, but then you get in trouble when you sign a name and you're like, this guy's not good anymore.
Sure, and I don't think you sign somebody just because they're a name, but when you have nothing, okay, then I'd be all right with like a washed-up old name. Like, that's fine. At this point, you sort of have to take what you can get. And when I say take what you can get, I'm not talking about the scrap heap of guys who have been cut from other teams.
Well, Chukwuma Okorafor is a guy who started games in the NFL, right? Like,
he did.
You're not going to get
at right tackle.
At right tackle. Now, that's where I think the biggest criticism, should they have just gotten a couple scrap heap filler left tackles, whatever they are,
mm-hmm.
guys that's what they've done.
The guy from the Jets, right tackle, but he ended up going to the Eagles, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah.
Okay, so
a
that's a right tackle. He's a big guy.
Biggin.
and was kind of a bust there in New York. But
and I think he played a little left tackle early in his career for them, no?
That sounds right. That sounds like I think he was drafted to do that, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, this is offensive line talk. It's tough to really get too in the weeds with all this here, but I do. There were some options. There were some options. There were some guys they could have maybe taken a run at, and they decided not to for whatever reason. And I know when, like, one of the bigger names, one of the more impressive names on the list is Jermaine Illuminor. It's not exactly some
That's impressive, but I don't know that it's impressive.
What?
Jermaine Illuminor.
No, I'm saying when he's one of the bigger names.
Yeah, like...
He's one of the bigger free agent names. I'm saying that makes this not an impressive free agent class. Mekhi that was the
Becton,
point I was making with that.
Did start, according to Pro Football Reference, started 13 games at left tackle for the Jets as a rookie.
Okay.
2020.
All right.
And that's where I think...
The Jets moved on from him, so it's not like he was some great player. But
You can't just project people. Ah, this guy, he's a running back, but we're going to project him to play tight end. He's a safety, but we're going to project him to be our number one corner. I mean... At the pro level, I know like Rafaela, oh, it's great that he can play short and center field, but there's a reason we wow when guys can kind of bounce around because it's really hard to do at the highest level of sport.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think that as far as Drake May and the reaction that he had, we have one more clip here. Can we just play the clip of him talking about running the scout team? Because that's basically what he's going to be relegated to at this point. You're in practice now. You're the backup. You're running that scout team. Here's what Drake May had to say about that.
How will you try to prepare yourself to be at your best? Despite not getting all those.
I think that's something I'm going to figure out. Balance that aspect of it. I haven't really experienced a week, like it yet. So kind of figure that out. But other than that, just study hard. Like I said, anything that Jacoby needs, any cut-ups, kind of little things like that. But other than that, just kind of do take advantage of the reps I do get. And even some scout team kind of left guys in the locker room now, with cuts. So get out there and try to make some throws in scout team. And other than that, I'm sure I'll get some second team reps.
Now, that was the only part of it where he sounded a little down, right? Like, all right, so what are you going to do going forward? Well, I guess I'm on the scout team now. Like, I'll do the best with the reps that I get. But, come on. Like, that was the one. He said, I'm not disappointed. He sounded disappointed there.
Well, and that, I think, is a realistic feeling.
Yes.
He knows he's not going to get a lot of reps.
Genuine reaction, yes.
Like, and when I do get reps, there's going to be a coaching assistant holding up a card in front of me telling me to pretend I'm Joe Burrow and run this play like you're Joe Burrow and do what Joe Burrow would do here or do what Brock Purdy would do here, right? Like, so he's not actually going to be doing what Alex Van Pelt has been working very closely with him to do for the last month and a half. And that, I think, has to be disappointing to him. But even in that, he's like, I guess I'm going to figure it out, right? I got to figure out how to get ready. I will be interested to see. So it seems like there's some loose lips in Foxborough. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
It's a loose environment.
Compared to the previous regime, absolutely it does.
So don't you think we may get hints of, I've been on other teams, and seems like this backup's getting more reps than other backups I've been around. Or something like, you know what I mean? Maybe it's not the 8, 9, 10 reps to one rep for May. Maybe it's like 6 to 4. And then I think some sniff testers will be like, smells like they're getting Drake more ready than they would a normal backup quarterback.
Yep. Fingers crossed. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll continue with your phone calls, and Tommy Curran joins the show right after Jackson tells you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending brought to you by Time Out Market, Boston's best eating and drinking destination in the Fenway, all under one roof, timeoutmarket.com. It's back-to-back wins for the Red Sox after last night's 3-0 victory over the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway. Starter Brian Bayo went 8 scoreless innings, gave up only 2 hits, and struck out 9. Kenley Jansen closed it out in the 9th for his 25th save of the season. And if you've been living under a rock the last few hours, Jacoby Brissett is the Patriots QB number one, according to Gerard Mayo, this season. And you can hear the call of the Red Sox game, by the way, the series finale right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. First pitch is at 7:10, sorry. Cutter Crawford will take the mound for the Sox against the Jays' Bowden Francis. Our coverage starts at 6:10 with the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show with Joe Wheel. That is what's trending. I'm Jackson Burns on WEI and WEI.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the remarkable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, so that was Ian Rappaport, who I believe was first this morning, right?
You sure about that?
I think it was. I think he had it a few minutes before Schefter did, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, on my timeline, they were literally back to back. Now I didn't. I got to go back and check the actual like time code.
I believe they were both 8:10.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know why? They told them yesterday, and they said schedule your tweet. You can do that, right? Can you do that on some of those?
You can. Yeah.
Yeah. So they both scheduled it for 8:10. I guarantee.
That's probably it. For some reason, I thought I saw Rap Sheets first.
Well, maybe you might
have. Maybe it's just the way my feed's set up. Who the hell knows? The way Twitter is these days anyway. But whatever. They both had it. They both had it very early. They both had it before any of the locals did, that's for sure. They decided to call everybody down there for an impromptu press conference and then gave the scoop to the two national guys either 20 minutes before or the night before with a scheduled tweet.
Yep.
Whatever it was, if I was a beat writer, I'd be kind of annoyed today, as it seems like some of them are. Mark Daniels had sort of a tweet about it.
Oh,
so,
really? I'm going to read that then.
It was isn't it great when we all have to come all the way down here and then they already give the scoop to somebody else or whatever it was? It was funny. We're going to be talking here with Tommy Kern. He's going to be joining the show at 3:30. Looking forward to talking with him. What you heard from Rap Sheet there was all the different reasons why Drake May shouldn't be the starter. And I hear all that and I listen to all that and I think about fan interest in the team. And you were saying before, like, Patriots fans are going to watch Patriots games. That's the way it is. Anybody who's saying they're not going to watch the team, they're lying. At first, you're probably right. I mean, everybody's sort of fiending for football to come back. I'm excited to watch my Buffaloes tonight. Like, you know, football's back, and that's great. And games that matter, games that really count, seeing some of these rookie wide receivers and all of that, there's some things to be interested in. Sure, fine. All that's true. But I think in terms of interest in the team, you know, not interest in football coming back, but interest in the New England Patriots. If the Patriots were stock, they'd be nosediving right now with this announcement today. That's the type of announcement that it was. The drop-off, I think, is going to be significant. And I'm talking about a drop-off from last year where nobody went to Bill Belichick's last game. All right? I mean, it's already low. So we're talking like dead cat bounce area here. And that's not where you want to be. It's not where you want to be if you're Robert Kraft. That's not where any NFL owner in the whole league wants to be. And they've enjoyed it. We're spoiled here, all right? Not only are we spoiled, that ownership group spoiled. And I just wonder how long this is going to hold on for. Because eventually fans are going to I don't know if they're going to revolt, but they are going to disappear. They are going to say, you know what, bleep this. I'm not watching this. I'm not spending money on this. This is not for me anymore.
And that's why I think everybody involved probably thinks they know what they're in store for and probably thinks they know how they're going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, because they haven't felt the pressure or the anxiety of 0-5, 0-6, or from an ownership perspective, hey, how many people were at the game today? 36,000, 35,000, you know, if that
35,000 paid.
Yeah.
Right. How many were actually there? I don't know.
How many tickets were distributed? Let's ask for that number first.
Right.
Because the eye opener for me was training camp. And I know joint practices are more fun,
mm-hmm.
but practice was run of the mill, very little interest. And then the day the Eagles are here, it was decked out. There's people lined up literally down the Route 1 past Bass
yep.
Pro to walk in. And they were there to see the Eagles.
Yeah.
They were there to see Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley and arguably the most talented team in football, which also happens to be one of the spendiest teams in football.
Weird how that works.
So, like, that was, you see it first. And then the one thing that gives them hope, because there was a buzz when Drake May took the field against the Eagles at Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
There was a buzz in the air, right?
Yeah.
So the one buzz they got has gone away.
Yeah.
You've thwarted it. You've said, we don't want that buzz because now we're going to go with Jacoby Brissett for the foreseeable future, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm. And really, if you look at the offseason, Mac Jones's rookie year, and he wasn't declared the starter before this all happened. I mean, the offseason happened in the order that it happened. And, you know, it goes free agents, and then they had the draft and all of that. And they went out and brought in a lot of talent, you know. I mean, it's probably more than was available than what was available here in this offseason. But they went out there and they spent. And they spent, I feel like, with the understanding of, okay, we're drafting somebody here, and we want to make sure that he's set up. We want to make sure that he's set up for success, and that when he goes out there and steps on the field, we can sleep at night knowing that we got him some tight ends, some wide receivers. Our offensive line's in pretty good shape, so we're not going to go out and spend crazy on that, but, you know, whatever. We're going to get some guys on the defense, too, but really we're going to make this about spending on offense and cutting big checks and ownership's on board,
mm-hmm.
and this is the plan we're going here for our rookie quarterback. And that rookie quarterback had a great rookie year. I mean, really, in the annals of rookie quarterbacks and the seasons that they've had, that was one of the better ones, Mac Jones. And they completely abandoned that this year. They completely abandoned that this time around. And they had the money to spend.
They did have the money to spend.
And they still have the money. They still have $40 million they can spend.
And they're going to roll it over and they're going to spend it, because at some point they have to. Because you have to spend to whatever the floor is, the 85 or 90% of the cap
right.
over the three-year average, and they haven't done it. So they're going to spend a boatload of money next year because they have it. And that year even, that was after a Bill Belichick reset year.
Yeah,
we didn't have any money. We had to reset. I mean, we paid Cam Newton $1 million. Obviously, that shows you we had no money. Like, remember
right.
that whole rant
of course.
About a reset year? So that was part of it. So this, you know, they have two reset years here, kind of, in a weird way. You let Belichick go, and you draft a quarterback, and that's how I would look at this. This is more of like a two-year reset, but next year is when you really springboard out of it. And I think that's what everybody has to look at. If you're a true Patriots fan, and you're being honest, you had to look at this as sort of a two-year proposition here.
Yeah. I mean, that's the unfortunate reality of it, and that's what people are texting in right now. You guys, this is a perfectly legitimate course of action, whether you like it or not. Putting May out there right now could impede his overall progression. Yeah, it probably could, because they didn't put a roster around them. You know, that same thing. If you had Mac Jones now and you put him out there with this team, he'd get his ass kicked too. Anybody would. But if you put Mac Jones out there and you got wide receivers for him to throw to and tight ends and targets, and it looks like you've actually invested in his success, then I feel like that's a very different scenario than what you're working with right now. And it was only 3 years ago, okay? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that we saw all this. It was a different regime, all right? But it was the same ownership, and they're ultimately the ones who decide how much gets spent and for who. And they did not go about it that way this year. It was just re-signing their own guys, mostly on defense. All right, joining us right now is Tommy Kern from NBC Sports Boston. He's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And by Drains by James, Eastern Massachusetts' top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Kern, how you doing today, sir?
I am great, Christian. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
We had a very, very eventful day, very eventful morning. It was the worst kept secret maybe in the history of the NFL. But now that the dust has settled on the big decision, Tommy, how you feeling about it? How you feeling about this quarterback scenario here in New England?
And I'm not sure if it was even eventful. There was an event held, but we all knew what the outcome would be, and it was the right outcome. I guess my overarching feeling on this is the Patriots in 2024 needed to ooze competency with their messaging and the way they approached their rebuild. And they were on the cusp of that until the messaging got muddled. And the messaging got muddled really on the first day of camp when Gerard Mayo said, if he's lights out, then he'll play. Okay, even though he referred back to pro ready and talking about Jacoby Brissett being better equipped and he being the starter, the door was cracked. And then to go on throughout camp and then eventually saying that Jacoby outplayed Brissett, that's the headline, fine print after, but it's the entire summer and we have to take into account a number of things. We all knew this was going to be the end result, but the fact the door was left ajar when we knew it was behind the door anyway, I think was an oozing of incompetency in the messaging. I get why they did it. I think that they want, I know that they wanted Drake May to feel less as if he was an apprentice and feel more entitled and to compete harder for the job. Not that he wasn't working hard, but, you know, go after the starting job. Take the command that we want you to take as the third overall pick. They accomplished that. They got it from him. But I think the messaging got muddled throughout that made it seem as if they were going to deviate from what was pretty much a well-founded plan.
Tom, part of that muddled message for me was even when Gerard announced it today and said we and then said I in the opening of his press conference, I'm okay with it being a we decision because I think the power structure they've set up and the way Gerard has talked about, I have a head coach of offense. His name is Alex Van Pelt. I think it's very normal to believe that Elliott Wolf, the man who drafted Drake May, Gerard Mayo, the head coach, and the head coach of the offense, Alex Van Pelt, made this decision. Why over the last day or so has Gerard been so adamant that I made this decision? If it doesn't work, blame me.
I think the fact it's been in the air that who knows who's making the decisions. Who's making the decisions down there? It's a collaboration. And I think that he wants to assert where the buck stops. That's my logic behind it, whether or not it needs to be done in an instance like this. It doesn't. I mean, if you, me, and Christian all decide we're going to go to the 99.
Yeah, nice.
Hell yeah.
And no one varies on that decision. We'll go 99? Yeah. You? Yeah. Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we're on the 99. Ian. Who made the decision? We all did.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's anybody on the planet, although Phil said that Lewis Riddick deviated. I think it is virtually unanimous that people think that Jacoby Brissett should start. Now, the reasons for it are myriad. But nobody thinks that he shouldn't have started. So there really wasn't a decision. The decision was made in April. If someone was going to deviate from the decision, then it would have been a single-party ownership of, I made that decision. I was the dissenting vote. The buck stops with me. But this was a we decision.
If it was a we decision in the sense that they were all aligned, right?
Wee.
They were all right, yeah, we. If they were all, they're all pulling in the same direction, they all seem to want the same thing here. In the event that Jacoby Brissett does go out there, and let's say everybody's worried that May is going to get hurt, is May the next guy off the bench? Or are they going to go the extra mile to protect him and make sure that he's not going to be the one that that goes out there in the sense that we're not ready to put him out there yet. We're trying to bring him along slower.
Yeah, I'm not presuming that anyone is afraid that Drake May is going to get hurt, and that's the primary reason he's not playing. I would imagine the primary reason is he hasn't played enough football. He hasn't seen enough. He hasn't competed enough in camp. The other guy has, he gives us a better chance to be kicking on third down. He gives us a better chance for all the work we've done in 5 months with Drake May to not be undone. Certainly you have the threat of an injury, but that's part and parcel of playing in the NFL. I think the main reasoning isn't let's make him cannon fodder. And if something happens, we'll go sign, you know, Ben Narducci. They're going to start Drake May. That would be the next person up. I think that we're, to a degree, and they've opened the door for this because of the state of the team and the decision-making or the messaging, they've opened the door for so many different theories as to why. He's sitting because the other guy's more ready to play NFL games right now.
Tom, most of us that have been watching this team, whether it be the practice field or the preseason game field, have been concerned with the level of talent and play coming from the offensive line. Yesterday, Gerard Mayo said that's a little bit overblown, how bad it was against Washington. He said we averaged 5 yards a carry. Are we overblowing how bad the offensive line is?
No, we're not. I do think that the presence of David Andrews improves them all by about 30%.
Yep.
But there needs to be a hell of a lot more urgency. You can't have, as everybody has said this week, repeated alignment penalties, which are embarrassing to the entire national TV audience. So, yeah, they have to be better. I was listening to Christian on the way into this call, and he was saying that the Patriots didn't do enough to get better this offseason. And what I would counter with is they signed the best tight end. They signed the best interior lineman in Onwenu and Henry. There were no wide receivers.
You're talking about Austin Hooper. I was like, wait, he was the best tight end. Okay, now I know what you mean. Sorry, go ahead.
there just wasn't a tight end tree or a wide receiver tree. Calvin Ridley, we all understand, was an overpay. The only reason they should have spent that money would be to appease people. Same thing to an extent, I believe, with Ayuk, which is still, they're still monkeying around with that, which is absurd. But to me, the wreckage of this team that went 4-13 and deserved to go 2-15, had it not been for those two late wins. They had 6 first downs in the last game of the season. Last year at this time, there was one quarterback on the roster. They had to cut Bailey Zappe, and nobody claimed him. They brought him back. This team is actually better now than it was then. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying that they feasted in the offseason. But it took a while to get this bad. And they're better now without Devontae Parker and Juju Smith-Schuster running around with a straight face and without the head coach hating his quarterback and actually having 2-3 of them instead of just 1. They're better off now.
We're talking with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. So, Tommy, I think most fans would like to know or at least have an idea. How bad does it have to get, and what's the earliest we could see Drake May out there starting a game?
That's a great question. If Jacoby Brissett has to be an impediment to winning. As one player in the locker room said to Phil Perry yesterday, we just need offensive possessions to end with kicks. So if he turns into a turnover machine, then there you have it. Then you have to make a move to the other guy. If he's an impediment to competing, I'm not even saying winning. If it's blowout after blowout and it's mistakes made at the hands of Jacoby Brissett, then you have to move on. But what if they end up 2-3 after week 5? You don't want to get into a situation like the Miami Dolphins were a few years ago, where Ryan Fitzpatrick was actually a good stopgap. And they decided, against Fitzpatrick's wishes, against many of his teammates' wishes, to go with Tua. And then you had to pull Tua back out because he couldn't play. And they had to put Ryan Fitzpatrick back in. That was a disaster, and it set back the development of Tua. So, to me, what Mayo said today, if he plays well, he keeps playing, in essence, is what he said. I think you have to go with that.
Tom, I wanted to give you a chance to just clarify something you said in one of the last couple answers. Ayuk, do you mean Ayuk still messing around with the 49ers, or is there still any chance Ayuk and the Patriots is
no,
a thing?
No.
Okay.
Just that the Patriots pushed away from the table on it.
Okay.
And said, you know what? He doesn't want to come here.
Yep.
We got our guys. We're not going to keep doing this.
Right.
So, I mean, pushing away from the table on that, and he continues to not show up to practice out there. So it's, you know, played footsie with Pittsburgh and
right.
Whoever else was involved in that pursuit. So that was what I was saying. Look, Ayuk might be a tremendous player, but he certainly seems like he's a lot. And Calvin Ridley is not worth the money that they were going to have to spend.
Right.
So I get the logic. I wish there was – in 2021, Christian, to make your point, they went out and spent like idiots
yep.
on Hunter Henry, Matthew Judon, excellent. Kendrick Bourne, okay to good.
Mm-hmm.
Jonnu Smith, bust.
Horrible.
Nelson Agholor, bust. Devon Godshaw, pretty good. So, but what'd you get from it? In terms of wins, what kind of team building did you get from it? So I'm all for shopping your face off as long as there's people out there. They signed Nelson Agholor to 2 years, $22 million, more than they were willing to do with Jacoby Myers, 2 years later. And he couldn't play here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'd say in terms of the way that he looked, you know, going to Baltimore after that, it certainly seemed like he had something left in the tank. But you're right, he didn't offer much to the Mac Jones offense. That's true. But I do think in general, when you go out and you spend a lot and try and at least set your rookie quarterback up for success, there's at the very least that idea that, okay, you know, we're going out there and we have a plan. It doesn't seem like they had that same kind of plan. And speaking of that kind of plan, Tommy, it seemed like earlier in the week you were hinting at the idea that maybe going the route of drafting a quarterback at 3 overall this season, considering the wreckage that you referred to left over from last year, may not have been the way to go. Is that something you stand by now, or is that that something you were just throwing out?
No, 1,000,000%. That was the strategy I thought was to build the team. And there's a million philosophies to follow. No one way is the right way, but the wreckage of this team, Mac Jones is in Jacksonville as a backup right now because of the offensive line. That's what helped to ruin him, turned him into a puddle because he eventually started looking at the rush and peed down his leg and the party was over. So you build the offensive line, and they could have done that by trading down with Minnesota, still gotten the quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, still gotten a tackle. They would have gotten Jalen Polk in the second round or someone else at that 37th pick or whatever they did to trade there, and they'd have 2 first-round picks for next year. They could move wherever they wanted it, whatever, you know, flavor of the week at quarterback emerged in the next 9 months. But they chose the other way, and it looks like they chose a good, promising, potentially very good quarterback who is physically strong, mentally resilient, and physically talented. So I think all those things are going to be good for Drake May. I just differ on the way the team could have been built, given when you had the 3rd overall pick and the hunger of teams behind the Patriots to come up. I think they should have cashed in.
Let's end on a high there. You brought it up. Am I a homer to be pretty thoroughly impressed with the way Drake May has handled himself, both on the field, but maybe more importantly, everything he's said through what's been kind of an interesting summer for his first professional training camp?
No, I think his upbringing, his family helps with that. I mean, his dad played in North Carolina. His brothers were high-end athletes. So I think some of that probably contributed to him maybe being deferential to the coach and the plan in the early stages.
Right.
And now when they said, go get it, he ramped it up, his performance and his fire. So, but I'm very impressed with all elements of Drake May, especially given the improvement in the little things that we saw in March and April. We said, you know what? I don't know. But if you want to turn the kid into Sam Darnold, play him now. If you want him to be good, do what they're doing.
All right, we'll leave it right there. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time today. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. See you.
All right. Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on the WEEI Afternoon Show. Quick break, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls and talk a little Red Sox next.
So the Red Sox one out away from a shutout, combined shutout for Bayo and Jansen. Here's a swing by Varsho. Line drive to center. Duran's there, and he has it. Easy 1-2-3, ninth inning for Kenley Jansen. And a beautifully pitched game by the Red Sox tonight. And as a result, the game played in just 2 hours and 5 minutes. Red Sox win it 3-0. Jansen comes on for his 25th save in 28 opportunities. And Lou, you said it, Brian Bayo, best we've ever seen.
Yeah, it's the best. That's the best game he's ever pitched in the big leagues.
Hard to argue with Mr. Maloney there. Dazzling, I think, is the word I heard and saw on Twitter a bunch, and that's a great way to put it. Brian Bayo, his best start ever. First time he's actually ever lived up to the Baby Pedro nickname, which had become a joke most of this year, as he had not been having a good year. His record's good, but his ERA was up around 5 going into that game. And really, since June, he's been better. He hasn't been good. This month of August, his ERA was in the 4s, so it's not like he's been, you know, killing it out there every night. But last night, he was killing it, and the Blue Jays had no answer for him. He was throwing bowling balls out there, and the Red Sox come away with another win. The Twins get smacked around by the Atlanta Braves, and now the Red Sox find themselves 3 games out of that 3rd wild card. Real quick, I know you never really counted them dead or anything like that. Now, have they drawn you back in? Are you fully invested now in this wild card race again?
Fully invested is probably strong, but I don't know how you can watch that game last night and not get a little like, ooh, a little ooh. Wait, our baby Pedro is going to pitch 8 innings? scoreless. Like, we're going to look like a... That right there is a playoff baseball team type win, right?
Yes.
You got supposedly one of your better pitchers, as you said. Like, he hasn't had a great year, but he was supposedly trending toward, could this be your ace?
Right.
Or could this be one of your top rotation guys? On the mound, dominant, and your closer comes in, ends it. Like, wasn't that playoff baseball? Wasn't that, like, big boy baseball? That's what you want to pretend you are. It's like yesterday I asked, what are you going to hang your hat on? You didn't feel like you had those. You didn't feel like you could count on anybody to go eight innings and then hand it over to the closer, right? Like, that's not who they've really been.
No, they haven't been like that at all. Tanner Houck's probably the only exception because
right.
he pitches deep into games, but that's it. I mean, they you can't say that about Pivetta, can't say that about Cutter Crawford, can't say that about Cooper Criswell, and that's basically your whole rotation right there. So,
right.
yes, I'd agree. That's not it. And also, Tyler O'Neill put one over the monster, which was just a towering shot. It registered at 405. That looked like it went about 520 feet. That was an absolute bomb.
I fight with those numbers and all the time. You watch these and, like, they don't make sense. They don't add up. I don't believe the computers. I'm anti-computer.
I'd sooner believe Ted Williams actually hit the red seat than that ball only went 405 feet.
But
that was a
you know who probably really liked
job.
That home run?
Who?
The skipper, as you would call him.
Skipper probably liked it, yes.
Because he's been complaining about a lack of right-handed pop at Fenway Park. Right?
I've also been complaining about that, but yes, absolutely. And that was nice to see. But I guess that's sort of the point. Like, I'm still not in on the Red Sox yet. I'll get there if they actually occupy that third wild card spot at some point between now and the end of the season.
It. Fine. You have faith.
No.
Faith is believing in what you don't see.
I am sticking to my guns here, which is that they did not do enough at the deadline, and that's going to sink them. But, you know, we'll see. Here's the thing. Tyler O'Neill is not someone you can rely on this year. He's been in and out of the lineup all season long, and it seems like, you know, he pops in, hits a couple of home runs, boom, he's back on the IL, and that's the way it's been. This month, when he's played, he's hitting under 200. So it's not like, you know, Tyler O'Neill's some guy that you can just count on to come out there and mash when he's at Fenway or when he's anywhere else. And Brian Bayo is another one. Like, that was the best start he's ever had in his life. You expect him to do that the rest of the summer? You expect him to do that all through September? I don't.
Well, that's why I compared them to that hot girl that likes the attention and is a bit of a tease. This is what they are.
Yeah.
If they were the ugly girl, we wouldn't be paying attention. They're not the ugly girl. They're the hot girl. But she doesn't really have any interest in us.
No.
It's not going to pay off. We're not going to have a relationship in the long run.
No, she just sent you a hey text, you know?
Exactly.
After 3 weeks of just ghosting you.
Exactly.
You know? And I was like, hey, what's up? Hey.
And then if you stop watching her.
I was thinking about you today.
Right. And then if you stop watching her, she's going to come by in a bikini and you're
right.
going to be like, whoa.
Yeah. And Tyler O'Neill's going to hit a home run over the monster.
That
then,
was
boom,
the bikini. Last night was a bikini shot.
Mm-hmm.
Last night lured you back in. You wanted to ignore her and move on and, you know, forget about. And now you're back in.
I got to tell you, this analogy really is landing with me.
I know. Mean, Keith hated it.
It is.
Apparently, it didn't work nights, but screw him. He doesn't work nights either.
That's why they put us together. And
put us together.
So there you go.
And you can appreciate my analogy.
I understand exactly what you're
that
saying.
That being said, in this analogy, you don't get the girl.
No, you don't.
In the end.
And ultimately, what I think is going to happen here. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's your Red Sox Minute. When we come back, we will once again reset on what Gerard Mayo had to say this morning, his very brief press conference, some things that Drake May had to say as well. Also, Jacoby Brissett spoke to the media. We'll get to all of those things right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.